In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you today about a woman's gifts. Very often, our gifts are overlooked altogether because we don't even think of them as gifts. We forget that everything in life is a gift, carefully chosen, given by the cherishing love of God for our good, and even more, much more, for the good of others. Did you ever stop to ponder that no gift is meant just for me, myself? God gives me gifts to give away for the blessing of the world. Well, this week, I want to speak about gifts which all of us women are privileged to share. Not talents, not special interests or genius. I'm not talking about that particular kind of gift today and this week. I'm talking about the gifts which God has given to all of us women. And first of all, I want to tell you about my dear old friend, Mrs. Kershaw. She was an old lady who, in her 70s, came to work for my mother. She was a widow. She had one apparently good-for-nothing son who seemed to pay absolutely no attention to her. He never visited her. He seemed to be unconcerned about her, and he lived at a distance. I don't think she ever got a letter from him, and she couldn't have had a phone call because she was deaf. She was totally deaf. She had a little hearing aid, one of those old-fashioned kind that she had to pin to her dress, and it had a little tiny microphone that she would hold to your mouth, and you practically had to shout into the microphone in order for her to hear. But dear Mrs. Kershaw was a ray of sunshine in our home. She lived in a big old empty, very bleak kind of a house. And if you think about her in the terms in which most people are judged nowadays, you would say she had no gifts at all. But Mrs. Kershaw was God's gift to all of us. The whole Howard family was blessed by the presence of Mrs. Kershaw in our home. I think of her gifts as femininity, womanliness, and the willingness to do a woman's lowly, unsung work cheerfully. We never saw Mrs. Kershaw in a bad mood. She was sweetness personified. Anything at all that needed to be done, she was willing to do it. It never occurred to her to ask for a job description. Never would she have said, "That's not my job." She had a gentle and quiet spirit. She always had a smile. She would pray for all of us while she was there in our home. She was a woman of great patience. Is that a description of you? It's not a description of me. I am not always sweet, gentle, quiet, smiling, prayerful, or patient. But as far as I can tell, and I think Mrs. Kershaw must have been with us for 10 or 12 years, she was consistently sweet and gentle and quiet and smiling and prayerful and patient. But God's picture of the true woman is one who is modest and with a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, there's lots of secular research that proves that there are some very significant differences between men and women besides the mere matter of the reproductive system. I came across these facts, that there are differences in the brains of men and women, from the magazine called Discover. There are differences in behavior and intellect which are partly rooted in the structure of the brain of men and women. The male brain is virilized by testosterone, just as the genitals are. Men excel in spatial reasoning, athletics, mathematics, and aggression. Women excel in intuition, language, and their right ear and eye are more sensitive. The hormones imprint a code on the brain, get this, and later they activate the code. I think that's just amazing. It's over my head, but it's enough to amaze me anyway. I'm smart enough to be amazed by it, even if I don't understand it. And they said that the male canary has a large cell cluster on the brain that controls his song. The female canary naturally does not sing, but if the female is injected with male hormones, her clusters will grow and she will learn to sing. So the size of the clusters determines the size of the song repertoire. Isn't that amazing? It happens to be springtime while I'm recording this particular program, and it's so wonderful to hear the birds singing. Winter is practically entirely silent as to bird calls, except for the seagulls and the crows around our house. But now we're hearing the cardinal and the robin and the tufted titmouse and the white-throated sparrow and the wood peewee and even occasionally the pileated woodpecker, which to me is the most thrilling sight to see. I was hanging out the clothes one day and I heard that single repeated note of the pileated, and I looked and there he was, the largest of the woodpeckers with a beautiful red head and a red crest. Well, we're talking about a woman's gifts. The design of a woman is God's idea, isn't it? We are divinely conceived, divinely designed to be what? To be helpers, to be wives, to be mothers in the world. Mrs. Kershaw had mothered one son, and she mothered us. She also mothered my poor old, very ill, very lonely, very sad step-grandmother, whom we called Nana. Dear Mrs. Kershaw would spend lots of time with Nana. She mothered the guests who came to our home. She was just always available, always looking to see, what does somebody need? What can I do for them? And when I look at the New Testament list of what women were expected to do, I find a picture of what our gifts are. Faithful marriage, the care of children, hospitality, washing the feet of God's people, supporting those in distress. Those are all from 1 Timothy 5:10. Then verse 14, presiding over a home, in other words, being a homemaker, an organizer, someone who brings order. Reverence in bearing from Titus 2, verses 3 to 5. Not gossips or scandalmongers, not slaves to drink. Setting a high standard, schooling young women to be loving wives, loving mothers, temperate, chaste, kind, busy at home, and respectful of the authority of our husbands. Now that description describes to me, or defines for me, my place in God's economy. Faithful marriage means that I am to be an answerer to my husband, a helper. The care of children means availability. Hospitality means welcoming. Washing the feet of God's people means humility, a servant heart. Supporting those in distress means that I am expected to be a pillar of strength to somebody. Presiding over a home, a woman in charge, keeping order. Reverence in bearing speaks of my behavior. Not a scandalmonger means that I mind my own business. Not a slave to drink indicates self-control. I'm to set a high standard, to be a teacher by the way in which I live, of what is good. You know, it wouldn't do much good for me to be writing books and speaking on the radio if I was not also keenly and constantly aware of the heavy responsibility that God lays upon me to be obedient to what I'm dishing out to you. How do I school younger women? Well, primarily by being an older woman who lives by these standards. A helper and a homemaker. Is that what you men want? Do I hear a few amens? Do I hear somebody say, "Preach it, sister"? And a few, "Don't forget to tell the men their responsibility." No, I don't forget to tell the men, but I'm talking to women right now. The men have a heavy responsibility to love their wives as Christ loved the church, which means sacrificially. But I'm talking to women, and I know that you men are willing to listen to that. Someone has said to be profoundly womanly, we must bear deep down the mystery of charity. I meet many of you who bear that mystery, that special radiance, so utterly opposite from the worldly woman typified by Eve. Eve said, "I am somebody, I'll do my own thing, I'll get what ought to be coming to me, and I'm going to prove my equality." What could be more in opposition to this list that I've just read to you from the New Testament? God's order is our gift for our own good, for the good of our husbands, of our families, for the good of the world. You single women, remember, God has given you the gift of femininity. He has given you the gift of nurturing. You too are meant to be mothers for the life of the world, even if God doesn't give you a child in the physical sense. You too are meant to be helpers, servants, that the word of God may not be discredited. Are we women discrediting the word of God by the way we live? Lord, I pray that you will help us to be women, to be true women, to be fully women, to be women for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.